Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for a new episode of TMG.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of PMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Guys, real quick, you know how we do it. Don't forget to visit our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with the capital D. There it is, guys, right there on your screen. I'm so excited to be here today, guys, doing and sharing this episode with you. And before we get started, guys, you know, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Guys, I say this every time we have this show, and I mean this. This show has really taken off, and it's being heard in places all around the globe. Yeah, right now, someone in Egypt is listening. Someone in Canada is listening. Someone in South Africa is listening. Someone in the Philippines and in Germany is listening to TMG. It's incredible. It's amazing. I'm so excited, and maybe this is your very first time tuning in. Your very first time listening to the show. Let me tell you, thank you. I'm so glad you decided to tune in. And maybe you found me by mistake. Either way, I'm glad that you're here. And say, Travis, hold on, man. I've been listening to your show since you've been starting, man. I've been with you since day one. Thank you so much for your continued support. Man, I am so excited for tonight's episode. I can hardly wait. It's an episode that's really dear to my heart. It means a lot to me. All my episodes means a lot to me. But this is a little special, you know. It's a little special to me. So I'm really excited to jump into it, guys. But you know how we like to do it here at TMG. Before we get started, guys, though, this show is all about finding moments of inspiration with everyday people like you and with me. So if you have an inspiring story that you would like to share, drop us a line. That's T-E-L-L, me something, 21, at gmail.com. Now, you say, Travis, man, I'm a little camera shy. I do not want to come on camera, but I do know someone who has a story that is worth hearing. Drop us a line. Send us their information, guys, and we'll be more than happy to have them on the show. And you know what? You don't even have to say anything. You can remain anonymous. So how about that? Thank you very much. And guys, you know, there are a couple of affiliate sponsors that are part of TMG. That's right. We have some affiliate sponsors. And guys, I want you to visit our sponsors who will help be a part of TMG. I'm going to play their information right now. After that, we're going to dive right into this show, and we're going to get started.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. And by Mint Mobile. Sign up and find the cellular plan that's right for you. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomethingmint and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. There it is, guys. Don't forget to visit one of our affiliate sponsors by clicking on the link in the chat. Welcome, everybody. Keep joining in. Thank you for streaming, guys. There you go. I see you popping in. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Guys, tonight's episode is one that means a lot to me. If you haven't heard or caught tonight's episode topic, tonight's episode is Fill the Gap. Yeah, Fill the Gap. Guys, quick question. Did you know there are more than 400,000 children in the U.S. foster care system? And guess what? 5,700 are right here in my home state of Alabama. That's right, right here in Alabama. 5,700 are right here in our home state. And this is according to the Alabama DHR, so it's not a number that Travis pulled off the top of his head. Verified sources. Now, with numbers like this, it's no wonder the need for help in areas of foster services is growing. But can one person really make a difference? Is one person really able to change anything at all against such insurmountable odds? Children from all different backgrounds are waiting for someone to fill the gap. Guys, tonight's episode, tonight's guest is part of an organization that helps to unite foster governmental agencies, organizations, and local church foster care ministries to serve and provide resources for foster advocates. The name of the organization that he represents, guys, is the Foster Coalition. There it is right there on your screen, guys. Listen, please give a huge TMG welcome to our very special guest, Mr. Paul Berry from the Foster Coalition. Paul, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Doing great, my man. How are you doing?
I am excited. I'm happy that you hear it. Can't you tell, Paul?
I think so. I think everybody can. Good to be here, and I want to thank all the people listening in and watching. It's a great honor to be here.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this, Paul. I know you guys. Don't let Paul's serious demeanor sidetrack you. The guy is split side funny. I'm honored that you are here, Paul. We're all honored that you guys decided to bring your cause to the show. It is absolutely an amazing thing, so I'm excited to dive into it. I know everyone else is excited to dive into it, so what we're going to do, Paul, we're going to dive in because this is pretty good. Now, look, Paul, you and I had a great conversation before the show. We did a lot of wonderful talking before the show and got to know each other pretty well. Please introduce yourself to everyone and just share a little bit about what it is that you do, Paul.
Well, it's good to be here again, and I appreciate you having me on. But I'm Paul Berry of Foster Coalition. And again, what we do, we are uniting the advocates for foster care. What we are actually doing is being a catalyst organization that is creating collaborative communities in each county of the state of Alabama. And we're right now working in the central side of Alabama, getting this thing off the ground and running. And we're just uniting the local government agencies, which is the judicial system, the DHR, the school system, together with the local foster organizations, which could be anything from a adoptive agency, organization working with those that are aging out, a counseling organization, clothing closet. There's about 40 in Shelby County here that we're working in, and there's about 400 in Jefferson County, which is Birmingham.
Wow.
it's a lot of work just getting this thing put together. But we're uniting those three with the church. And the reason for the church is two reasons. One is that that's the greatest resource for workers that are fit to work in this system and help these children.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the church can't do what the government does. And
okay.
The government can't do what the church does.
Right, right.
So if everybody's working together, there's nothing ever going to change for these children. It has to be a collaborative effort.
Wow. Guys, did you hear that? It's not, and what I like what you just said, Paul, is that a lot of times we like to think it's going to be one entity is the answer for everything, and it's not. It's going to take all of us as a community, whether it's governmental, whether it's church, whether it's local, whatever. It takes everyone to help these children. Absolutely amazing, guys. And true to the saying that it takes a village. Well, that village can be part of a government, be part of the community, but if it does take a village, what does your village look like? So what is your including your village? So I think a lot of times maybe the struggle has been one entity maybe trying to do it, or the burden has been on just one person or one entity, and it's not capable of doing so. Awesome. Awesome. I love it, Paul. I love it. So I got, man, I'm curious. Whenever I hear individuals talk about foster services and foster children, I get curious about different things about that person. So what made you want to do this as a career? What made you want to do this?
Well, it wasn't a choice.
Wait.
I retired from doing financial planning in January the 1st of 2015.
Uh-huh.
I was going to travel and have a good time and play golf and do a lot of good stuff, but we felt like there was something wrong in our daughter's house, and my wife found a verse that said that God will rescue the lambs.
Mm.
So she started praying that on January the 1st when I retired. On January the 7th, we had three kids. So I had a six-day retirement. We had to carry them back and forth to school in a different mm-hmm. city for, you know, a year and a half, and it took about 5 hours a day to do all of that.
Wow. Wow.
There were activities and cheerleading and stuff, so it was just a lot of outside activities that went along with it. So in May of 16, you know, that was over with, but I came down with cancer in June of 16 with mouth and neck cancer. And so I went into treatment for that, and then it went spread into my lungs after that, and I had treatment for that. In the middle of all of that, these kids were acting out. They were teenagers at that point, and I didn't understand that because that was a complete reversal from the way they had been behaving. And God kind of spoke, said that, you know, if these kids are living in a place where they don't need anything, they got a loving grandparents to take care of them, and they're acting out this way, how much more of those in the foster system are struggling? So he said, I really need you to get out and find out what's going on. But I said, I can hardly get out of bed with all this treatment and stuff. So we just kind of left it at that. And then I was treating these kids with tough love, which mm-hmm. is normal way that I thought, well, you're supposed to handle these kids, because I'd never heard of trauma. And so January the 1st of 21, I no longer had high blood pressure. I no longer had diabetes. I no longer had Barrett's esophagus. I no longer had Crohn's disease. And I no longer needed a CPAP, and I no longer had cancer. So God said, get off your butt.
Wow. Wow.
So I went out and started talking to local and statewide foster organizations and agencies to find out what's the good, bad, and the ugly out there, and what are the real needs. And with that, you know, I found out that there was four major needs. And one is they need workers. CASA, which is court-appointed special advocates, they needed workers. They need foster parents. There's about maybe at 25% to 40% foster parents that are needed at this point. They need mentors to work with those that are aging out and those that have already aged out. And there's really very few of those that even exist. They need caseworkers at DHR. They said there's a 200, on any given day, they need 200 different caseworkers. And the turnover is pretty bad because a lot right now is because of COVID. That just created the big shortage, and not just in Alabama, but it's all over the country. And they need, you know, just volunteers to work with local organizations and need trauma counseling. There are some counties in Alabama that don't even have trauma counseling.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a big deficiency out there. But again, it can be solved with everybody working together. But, you know, I found that, you know, kids are, when they come into the system, mm-hmm. they're supposed to be placed permanently within 12 months. And if they have one caseworker during that period of time, there's a 76% chance that that will happen.
Right, right.
But because of the shortages, and that doesn't happen that often. So that 76% success rate drops to 17.5%. So
these Wait, kids, you go from 76 to 17?
17. So they have to start all over.
Oh, my goodness.
So they stay in the system. And they're passed around the average. The home, they have three different homes on average. And those that age out can be anywhere from 12 to 30 different homes.
Oh, my goodness.
They stay in that long. And the kids are broken up with their siblings most of the time. And that's another trauma.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're suffering. So we had to figure out what is really needed to solve this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people, but like you, Paul, nobody like you, no one thought to think, well, what caused them to be in this situation? What trauma led to this? Because they were children. They're children. So they're born into a situation that existed before they got here, you know?
They absolutely did nothing wrong to be in the foster system.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is consequences of the parents' behavior, and all they wanting is love.
Exactly, because they're born and they don't know what's going on. They don't know what the situation is. They don't have any idea what the circumstances of why they were born. And the parents may not like the situation of how they got here, but the kids don't know. The kids, so. And like you, a lot of us have said, well, they just need some tough love. Well, that might be the case, but if we remove the word tough, they just need love.
They need love, and, you know, trauma behavior has to be treated totally opposite of tough love. You know, let me explain what trauma is. Trauma is trying to get your needs met. But the normal way of getting them met doesn't work. Mm-hmm. For instance, when a child is born, they cry a lot, right?
Right, right.
They need things. What do they need? They need either food, they need a diaper change, or they're hurting.
Yep. So
they cried in order to get those things recognized and that problem solved.
Absolutely. But
the story goes, if you go to China and go to the orphanages over there, the quietest room in the whole orphanage is the infant room. So they have cried and cried, and it didn't work, so they just shut up. So trauma, so as kids grow older, they learn other ways to get their needs met. So
okay.
All that is acting out. And the older they get, the more harsh the acting out gets.
Right.
My 3-year-old trauma is totally different than a teenager acting out in trauma.
Correct.
They have to be parented differently. And the problem is most people don't know how to parent trauma.
And
that's kind of one of the things we're trying to solve. But they say that trauma of a foster child is worse than the trauma and PTSD of the veteran. Getting treated. So that lets you know how bad it is. These kids,
it's pretty bad.
They get into the system and they work through the system, they'll ask themselves one of three questions. Will I lose one or both of my parents to death?
Oh, wow.
Addiction, desertion, or prison, that's their security.
Right, if right.
They, you know, that's their security. So they, and then they get passed around some more, and they lose even more of that security. Then they'll ask themselves, well, why am I on this earth? Nobody cares about me. I have no value. I'm not important. I have no value. So why am I here? That's the significance that we all need, is, you know.
Correct. Right.
And thirdly, they will ask themselves, will I ever find someone that will love me as much as I love them?
Jeez.
You know, and when they can't get those answers, that's more trauma and more acting out. And I interviewed 27 aged out kids.
Mm-hmm.
Already out of the system. So I listened to all of their stories of how bad it was and their events, some good, most of it. Like I said, they lived in anywhere from 12 to 30 different housing situations. So at the very end, I asked them and said, what is the one thing that would have made a difference in your life and the concept and the decisions that you made in life?
Mm-hmm.
They said, if I just had one person that would have accepted me the way that I am.
Wow.
Give me some advice about life, guidance in life.
Right, right, right.
And would not have ever deserted me.
Wow.
Would have made all the difference in the world.
Wow.
So, as we say, they're just looking for Jesus with skin on them.
I like that. Jesus with skin on them. I like that. So, one person can make a difference.
Absolutely. And give you an example of that. Who was the MVP of the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
2 years ago? That was when Kansas City won, right?
I don't know.
Unfortunately.
Most people can't answer that. Okay, who was the Miss America 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, you got me on that one. I have no idea.
Who's even the Secretary of State? That's a big, important position today.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. Yeah, that's a good question.
Nobody knows. But these are very important people that have accomplished a lot. But nobody can really recognize who they are. So I ask you another question. Would you be able to name somebody that made a big difference in your life?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So if you really want to be remembered, make a difference in somebody's life.
Wow.
Give some time to work with an individual, whether an aging out kid or somebody that's already aged out. I've got a partner in crime in this that he found out about all of this in Arizona when he was at a foster conference, and a lady asked him and said, did you have any food left over at Thanksgiving?
Mm.
Well, yeah. What about Christmas? Yeah. Could you have had an extra chair?
Oh, man.
He said, well, of course. He said, well, would you have let a youth that had been aged out of the system, that has no family and no place to go, come there and celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas with you? Maybe even wash some clothes. She said, well, go do something about it. So he's part of my partner in crime in this.
That's amazing. That's absolutely awesome.
Person can make a big difference. It may not make a difference in everybody's life, but it'll make a difference in one.
In one person's life.
You know, and you will be remembered.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing, and you're absolutely right. There are people who have accomplished great things in this world, in the history of this world. And in order to even remember those individuals, we have to look them up either on the internet or on our phones or in a book. But if it's someone who made a big difference in our lives individually, we'll remember that person until the day we leave this earth.
That's
so
right.
Absolutely. So if you want to be remembered, make a difference in somebody's life, guys. I know you heard that. I did. It rang a bell to me. He got some wheels turning to my head, Paul, and that's a good thing.
Don't let him close the door. clog up.
No. When they start turning, they don't clog up, buddy. what are some of the, you've been working with foster children for a while and in the system for a while. And so, I mean, you've probably seen a lot of stuff. You've probably seen a lot of changes, things coming left and right. You've probably seen new ideas pop left everywhere, kind of like popcorn, you know. What are some of the biggest changes in terms of how things are done to help children that you have witnessed since you began?
Well, I think the biggest change that we're trying to make now and have made is getting foster ministry started in churches.
Okay.
Because again, we need bodies. Number one, we need to stop the turnover. Number two, number three is we need all the organizations and these foster parents and mentors, whoever, that's working with these kids, educated about where their resources are, how the system works.
Right.
And then we need communication. You know, we got to get everybody talking together, working together, and so that they can solve these problems. And communication is, and this whole system is really based on the Tower of Babel. You might remember that in the Bible.
Oh, I do. I do.
They're building this tower to heaven, you know, and God looked down on them. And he said, you know, if these people are united together,
they can do anything.
Solve a problem and can communicate, there's absolutely nothing
that they can do.
That's right. And so that's where we're at. We've united all the organizations, government, churches together to solve a problem with the foster system, and we got communication systems going to where they can talk with each other and work with each other. But you know, there's another big one there that's needed is the image of the foster kid.
Wow, that's
and bad press sales.
Yeah,
that's the reason I like your show so much. I mean, I just thank you for the people that are listening, because good news encourages. And bad news make you depressed.
I know, right? Thank you. I'm glad. You know, I told you how the show got its name and where it came from, but I wanted to give back. I dealt with so much stuff in my life. I wanted to make sure that I had a platform like this where individuals who may have not had a voice could have a voice and could have some good news. And this is certainly some good news for children in the foster system who are foster children to know that there are people who care. There are those out there who would like to make a difference. And to be honest with you, Paul, some of us didn't know how. Didn't know where to begin. Some people wanted to know, what could I do? If I really wanted to help, what could I do? Guys, stick around. I'm going to provide Paul's information at the end of the show, and you'll have all the opportunity, like I will, to join in with Paul and partner with Paul. And like he said, it takes a community. And so stick around. Don't go nowhere. I'll get that information. I remember something, Paul. I don't know. I'm going to date myself real quick, okay? I'm going to date myself. Okay, I'm not 25, everybody. I know you're watching, you're listening, you're timing in. Thank you for joining the show, guys. Thank you. Thursday night, right here at 6:30. I'm going to date myself with this statement. So that's my disclaimer. I remember being a kid. And as a kid, they had these things that were called label makers. You remember those, Paul? They were plastic little... Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm dating myself. They're called label makers.
Yeah, that was just yesterday for me.
I don't even know if they still make them, man. I'm not even sure, man. But I remember they had these little plastic things, like little guns called label makers. They used them in grocery stores. There's always this one guy walking around the grocery store who had the label maker just labeling everything, just taking everything. My teacher had one in elementary school. And I know some of you that are listening, you're watching, you know, you remember label makers. If you do remember them, type it in chat, say, I remember. I know you do. So I remember them. And this was like this little plastic tool, right, that you held in your hand, and you could design and print labels and kind of just stick them on things, stick labels on things. And I thought they were the coolest things ever, and I wanted one so badly. But my grandmother said, no, absolutely not. What are you going to do? Just put labels on everything. I was. That was my plan. My plan was to go through the house labeling everything. Window, door, floor, chair, refrigerator. I was going to put a label on everything, man. I mean, but the only thing about that, the problem with that was this, that sometimes things got mislabeled. And you would have to peel off the label and then create a new one. But what I've come to find out, Paul, in this age of technology and now in the age of AI, and as technology grows and as this culture grows, as people grow, and sometimes we become desensitized to different things and desensitized to certain individuals. But this is the type of society and culture that we're living in now, where things are labeled. Labels are placed on everything and people. One of the biggest problems, of course, with labeling everything, my man, is sometimes things do get mislabeled, and sometimes foster children have to grow out of a label that's been placed on them before they even had a chance to defend themselves from it. Now, I'm talking, of course, about stigmas, right? Stigmas on mental health. You mentioned it, trauma. They're dealing with different traumas. No one knows that. No one even thinks about that layer of things. And all of a sudden, they're labeled. They just get labeled. They play a part in a lot of the decision that society makes today. So my question, I'm just kind of curious, just thought in my head. Are there any stigmas associated with foster care or foster children that you have to address when you speak to potential parents or interested parties considering a foster service such as the organization that you're a part of?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, I think the main thing, as you've said, is trauma. And the image of a child in a foster system is that it's just an acting out little hoodlum. And that is ugly, weird. But then when you go see a bunch of these kids, they're just normal looking and acting children, just trying to survive. You know, a lot of the image that the children get are based from the image of their parents that got them into the system altogether. And that's not good. You know, the children coming out of homes where drug addiction has occurred and is prevalent, the number has risen 300% in the last few years. So these kids get placed with that kind of an image. And it gets to the point to where even people don't want to work in the foster system because of the behavior and the image that is portrayed out there. And as I said in the beginning of the show, only news that's really portrayed out there is bad news. And DHR, it only gets bad news. And so we need good news. So I got a partner in crime. As I said, Mike Owsley, he's a TV producer.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, he's been up to 3 Emmys.
And, wow.
And he does 70% of Alabama Public Television's TV.
Wait a minute, 70% of the TV here in Alabama?
In Alabama. He does documentaries from Auburn and Alabama. Programs that they have down there that they're trying to get people to understand. But, you know, he, again, caught the image of this when he was asked to go and do something about this. So what he is doing is producing 9 one-hour documentaries mm-hmm. about the foster kids and the foster system and trying to change the image to what it really should be.
Right, and, right.
We have one that's already been produced that if anybody wants to look at it, they can go to our website at fostercoalition.org, and if there's a link there, you can watch it. This one is on the joy of being a long-term foster parent.
Wow.
And it's very moving. And we got another one's coming out in August 24th at 9 p.m. on Alabama Public Television. And it's about the foster caseworkers. And this is very, very interesting and mm-hmm. very moving. And because they have a bad image, too.
I like that.
And because those are the needs, but people need to understand that all you're really trying to do is heal hurting kids.
Wow.
And they just need love. And a lot of people say, I don't want to be a foster parent because I love them too much. Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
So that's what they're waiting on. Please love me too much.
Yeah, and you know, but it is hurtful when you have somebody for several years and you really fell in love with this kid, and all of a sudden they get placed back with their birth parents and or a relative.
Right.
It hurts, and there's trauma there for the foster parents. But you know, you got to look at what's best for the child. It's always what's best for the child, not what's best for me. And so, all of that image has to change, and there's. Some counties said we can't get foster parents because of the image of the children.
Mm.
And that's wrong. It's totally wrong.
Yeah. And like you and I said earlier, Paul, they're children born into a situation that they aren't aware of what's going on. They have no idea. When I was born in Mount Vernon, New York, I had no idea I was in New York. I had no idea. I remember being born. I know I'm here, but, you know, the children... You know, they're born in traumatizing situations. And so they can't help but that trauma gets on them and it gets in, can get in them. And so a lot of the behavior they get is because they were already traumatized or born into traumatizing situations that they had no opportunity to even to defend themselves about. You know, if someone would say, hey, Paul, you know, you're too short. Well, if you're... You know, 6 months old, you can't defend that. You don't know how to fight that. So you become what's around you. You emulate your surroundings. You emulate what you see. Some may act out. Some may do this. But you don't know how to properly defend it when you haven't been given the proper tools because you're in a traumatizing situation. So when we see children in the foster system, yeah, they get that whole bad rap that they're just somebody else's problem. I don't want somebody else's problem, child. Instead of thinking, well, what caused them to have that problem? What started that problem? Because they weren't born with a bad attitude. They weren't born acting out. Something caused that. And great way to bring up that point, Paul. And Mike, we want to get you on the show if you're doing documentaries, Mike. This is a shout. Just letting you know. We may have to get you on the show, man. Are there any so that makes me think this then. Are there any outlining factors that play a role in the number of foster children and young adults? What any outline? You mentioned drugs kind of do it, parents, a situation, things like that. Do they kind of, those are some things that kind of add to it?
Yeah, I think one big issue out there is grandparents raising grandkids.
Mm.
You know, there's 120,000, somewhere around that number, in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And they get no recognition. They get really not very little, if any, help. But they're dealing with children also, even just like I did. And
right.
They act out because of trauma, and they don't know how to handle this either. So, you know, we're really trying to recruit long-term workers through the church. We're going to churches and say, okay, if you had a tools here to create a foster ministry in your church, would you want to do it? And they said, yeah, because I don't even know what a foster ministry is supposed to do, how it looks like, what it's supposed to accomplish, or anything. So we're providing free a ministry tool that was developed in Atlanta with an organization called Promise 686.
Mm-hmm.
And it operates in 1,400 or so churches around the country.
Oh, wow. So it's a pretty big organization there.
Pretty big organization. And what we're doing there is we're giving that to them, and then what Foster Coalition does is come along beside the lay leaders and walk them through how to start and implement and manage a foster ministry in the church. And it doesn't require any time from the pastor, we're not charging them anything, so I'm trying to overcome all excuses not to do it as possible.
Right, right.
So then once we get it started, one of the main things that we're trying to get started is where every foster parent in that church, or if you don't have any or many there, then go outside of the church and find foster parents that need a support group around them.
That's nice. That's good. That's good.
Because I don't see how a foster parent can make it any length of time without some kind of support, because taking care of a traumatized child is equal to maybe two, sometimes three other children. Because you got to take them to counseling.
Oh, yeah.
All these other activities that they have to be in, go to court.
Right, right, right.
Well, you know, if they don't have somebody to help them with babysitting while they're doing that, or take them a meal once a week so they don't have to cook and they can just fellowship with one each other, babysit so the parents can go out and get a life a little bit and have a life.
I know, right?
Absolutely. I like a life. And the normal statistic for foster parents is that there's a 50 to 100% turnover every year. Mm. But if they just had a support group around them, that goes to only 90%. Well, we'd still be there in 1 year. So you really reduced it down to 10%. But the other thing that we're trying to do is we get the organizations out here to teach these foster parents and mentors and other people that are looking at coming into the organization and working in some form, shape, form, or fashion as to what are you getting into, so that they know what they're getting into. And there we got maybe a judge come in and talk about what is the legal system do? What's the judge do? What does the HR do? What does a CASA worker do? What is an ISP? What is a GAL? And what is the Bill of Rights of a foster parent? And so they're equipped to understand, well, this is how the system works. And then we come in, another one may talk about resources. Where do you find help? How do you get things paid for? And what's the process and the procedures? Others may come in and they'll talk about trauma, recognizing trauma. And the trauma of a three-year-old is totally different than a trauma of a teenager. And how do you parent those? Because parenting is the most important thing. And there's, you know, we have an organization come in. How do you recognize sex abuse, physical abuse, or emotional abuse? So that they are really equipped for what they're getting into. And we're also having the church take the potential workers through a 30-day devotion book called Ready or Not that helps them determine, are you really called to do this? And what do you know what you're getting into so that you're prepared for it? And those that go through all of that, the statistics are that 80% of them will still be there in 5 years.
Wow.
Lower the turnover, get workers, and educate them all about everything, and then get them communicating. So we'll have fellowships for all of these workers so that, especially for the leaders of the organization, where they can come in and fellowship with other churches, leaders. And,
exactly, exactly.
And what are you doing? How are you doing this or whatever? And then we may have a DHR worker, a CASA worker, or come in and talk about what's the urgent needs that we have to have right now.
Correct.
So they focused on what they need. So we're here to solve problems. And we've gotten all the organizations that work with the agent out together to discuss what are the problems and what needs to be fixed. You know, we find out 70% of all the people that are in our prisons today have foster system. 65% of those that are rescued out of sex trafficking have been in the foster system.
65%?
Yes. And the life expectancy of a person in sex trafficking is only 7 years. They have a 7-year lifespan.
Oh, wow.
So we're not only trying to help the child now, but to help save their life.
The entire life, their future, their whole everything. Wow. So
20% that are at that age out right now are immediately homeless.
Right, right.
And this is nationwide, not just Alabama.
Nation. So across the nation, this is something that occurs across the nation. So whether you're here in Alabama, or whether you're in Pennsylvania, or whether you're in Chicago, or Florida, wow.
It may fluctuate a percent or two in each state on these numbers, but they're all about the same. And but they're just innocent kids that didn't have a way to make it. You know, when they age out, you know. They all have in Alabama, they have a 100% college education paid for. But only 3 to 5% take it.
Wait a minute. Wait. When they age out, they have college paid for?
Paid for.
But only maybe 3% take advantage of that opportunity. And I didn't know that. They age out of the system and they age out with college ready for them. But only a few...
Yeah, and 70% said I would have taken it if I'd known about it.
Wow. That's information right there.
That's understaffing. And, you know, and they can get other trade school paid for and all of that. But they need a job when they get out, right?
Right.
How are they going to get to work? They don't have a car. They don't have transportation. So they have to turn to illegal activities in order to survive. And those that are in 5 or more homes while in their foster stay, 90% of that 5%, or the 5-year holding period, will commit crimes. So if they have 5 or more foster homes, 90% of them will commit a crime.
Wow.
That's the reason there's so much in the but they're just trying to survive. But
right,
they're not
right.
Prepared for what they're getting into. And that's the reason they need mentors to come along beside them.
Correct. That was my next thing. That's where mentors come in. But again, it still has, Paul, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Born into traumatizing situations. So the behaviors represent or emulate traumatizing behaviors. And so they bring trauma on society because they're stuck in this entire internal cycle. It's this internal cycle that's going on inside them that someone said, well, had I known once I get out of the system, age out of the system, I could go to college, I would have taken that opportunity.
Right.
But because I didn't know about it, here I am.
That's where the mentor comes in. They just come in, take them to a ball game.
Right.
And, just lay around and just shoot the bull. And develop relationships, find out what they like and what you like, and go do something together.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Teach them how to drive. The average age of those that I talked to, that when they learned to drive, they were 25.
Wow.
You know, so they can teach them how to drive, maybe even help them get a job, how to keep a job, how to quit a job, so that they can know about life and how it functions. And they're going to stand a better chance of getting out. Maybe they can even help them get a car. We have an organization that we work with here in Birmingham called Hearts of Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his another old retired codger like me that has retired, and him and his wife, they will raise money to buy cars, and they will fix them up. They got organization or other dealerships and auto operations out there that will fix up these cars at cost or nothing. And so twice or three times a year, he will give away some cars. They give away about 25 cars a year.
Wow.
But they may give out 10 cars at a time, and he may have 100 kids applying for those 10 cars.
Oh, wow.
So he has to go through and interview all of them and determine who needs it.
Who needs it more? Wow, that's a tough decision to make. That's a really
tough
decision.
But he teaches them how to drive. He'll ride back and forth with them to work. but they got to get a job. He helps them get a job. He rides back and forth. I think in Alabama, you got to have 75 hours of driving time to get a license. So he does that, and then he gives them the license. He has developed this program that he sees them taking the tests and studying and all that stuff. He takes them through a budgeting process. How do you handle
your finances? Right. Yeah. So
what's insurance? You know, you got to save up money and pay for insurance.
Yeah, it's not just riding around. You need the insurance. Right. So the maintenance and upkeep of it. So he kind of gives them a whole life tools to kind of get themselves on their feet and to kind of remain on their feet.
Yeah, and they gotta do some community service work. They have to save up enough money to get to pay for their insurance and sign it over. But when he does sign it over, he still stays on the title for a good while, because anybody that's up against the wall and they need some money, what are they gonna do with that car?
Sell that car.
That's title match. Here we come.
Here we go. We're gonna go get rid of this car. We're gonna sell the title of this thing. Absolutely. And then the car's gone.
They can't do that. But once they serve enough time and show them that they're good at what they're doing, they're going to follow everything like they're supposed to, he signs it over to them. And we were in that conference that we were having with kids. We had five of these aged out kids do some talks there, and one little girl was up there, and she saw him sitting out in the audience. She said, "You probably don't remember me, but you gave me a car. And I still have it."
Whoa! So that leads right into my very next thing that came across my mind. What difference can one person make in the lives of children? And here it is. This one person, she remembered it and walked up to him and said, "Hey, you don't remember me, but I remember you." And I guess that's what it's all about. It's about creating an experience or a moment where they will remember us, where the children remember us. So all type of children, all type of help, rather, is needed to kind of fill the gap. And guys, all of this we're talking about tonight, everything we've been talking about fill the gap, ways to fill the gap with love, with caring, with mentorship, with being caseworkers, all these things. Foster parents are ways we can help fill the gap. So all type of help is needed to fill the gaps in the lives of the children. Foster parents, mentors, social workers, churches, organizations. So guys, if you're a church, you have a church, maybe your pastor, talk to them about it. Say, "Hey guys, have you ever thought about doing a foster program? Have you thought about having a foster ministry for children? It's a great way to get out into the community. It's a great way to show a large footprint in the community." And again, he said it doesn't require any time of your pastor. It doesn't cost you any money. You don't have to have a church building fund for it, for that. Everything is taken care of. They come and teach and educate and provide the tools. Is there a specific level of education or degree required to be part of this? Can someone with a bachelor's degree or associate degree be a caseworker, social worker? Is there a specific degree level?
Well, we have a slogan: everybody can do something. For a foster parent, all that's required is, you know, they're going to do background checks on it.
So
a pervert out here trying to get the kid.
I know, right?
So, you know, and that's basically the only requirement. You got to have proper housing and those kind of things to fit. And same thing for even adopting a child. And
right.
We've had several that wanted to adopt siblings, but they didn't have an extra bedroom because they required a one child per bedroom. So when I was a kid, there were six boys of us. You know, we
guys, it was like four or five of us in the room.
Jeez. Yeah, that's no big deal. We just fought each other.
Yep.
But those are requirements that are sometimes tough to meet. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that those people need to be helped.
And correct.
So it doesn't matter if you've got hammer nails or do what. You know, everybody can do something. But a foster parent just needs to have a clean background and a heart and love, willingness to love. And a CASA worker, basically that's a 10 to 15 hour a month volunteer position. You work with the judge. And believe it or not, there's no requirements there other than a clean background.
Wow, that's good. That's good. And,
so any retired old codger like me or somebody that's not working that wants to spend 10 or 15 hours work, you know, they're assigned a case and they'll go do background. They'll talk with teachers and counselors and family members and everybody that's involved with that child and help determine what is the best thing that this kid needs.
Wow.
And recommend that to the judge, and judge can do that or do work with the DHR to get it done, and there it goes. Yeah, the caseworker has to be a social worker.
Okay.
But they need to be called too because it's a really emotional, stressful job.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So
they got to know what they're getting into, just like a foster parent does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good entry level job, but it can into be a very long term job. And it's great for people that have a social worker degree that are no longer working in that, but want to make a difference in a kid's life. You know, here's an opportunity to really come in. And again, August 24th at 6 at 9 p.m. Watch the documentary. Mentors, again, just a clean background. Just kind of all you got to have is just a willingness to and a couple of hours a week to talk to a kid or go visit with them or take them to a ball game or do something with them. And so,
okay.
Or you may just want to be a volunteer in a church to help a foster parent in one of these care groups. You don't even have to go to that church, or you can have your.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You can have your own community. Hey, we just want to take them a meal once a week. We want to do some babysitting. You know, and how do they? What do they need? You know,
right.
Just in communication to help them. You know, grandparents raising grandkids, they need help too. And
absolutely.
People think that's a rarity, but, you know, I was just thinking about my little street here, about a quarter of a mile long, there is four grandparent families raising grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
And two others that have adopted, you know. And adoption, you know, is the same thing. You know, you may want to adopt, but again, it's about being equipped for what you're getting into and understanding trauma, and that's kind of what we're trying to provide those services for.
Because correct.
There's an article in USA Today that where it had 66,000 children have been adopted out of the foster system and returned.
Returned?
Returned. If you talk about...
I didn't know you could return someone like a pair of socks.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they can do that. And you can't give away your own child, but...
but you can give it what? That's amazing to hear that.
Ultimate pain. And,
yeah, absolutely. Talk about adding trauma on top of trauma.
On top of trauma. I mean, that's where they need support, just like a foster parent does.
Mm-hmm.
And they need trauma counseling. You know, and there's a lot of organizations that really provide that. There's Children's Aid Society here in Birmingham. They will give counseling before you adopt and for years after you adopt. You know, Lifeline here does a lot of counseling trauma. And so there's, I don't know what they are in all the other counties in the state. Some maybe none, but there are some out there. But I would encourage anybody looking at adopting to go through the Ready or Not book to find out if you're really called to do this, because this is what you're getting into, and really understand trauma, because trauma is the number one issue.
Wow. So let me ask you a question. Social workers, do they have to have a certain degree level to work? Bachelor's, associate's?
Yeah, just a bachelor's in social work.
Awesome. So a bachelor's of social work, and it can come and get started with the organization. Absolutely.
That's it. Yeah. And there's, like I say, they only need 200 on any given day. And... again, I would encourage you to go through the Ready or Not book to really, because it really helps you understand what you're getting into. And, you know, contact us on our website, just info@Foster Coalition, and ask us a question, you know.
Oh, I'm going to...
about this USA Today thing. Yeah, give me an article about trauma. Give me a...
Right.
I would start a foster ministry in my church. What I do? Okay, we'll guide you through the process. If you're not local here, so it's in local, we, you know, we got people that really do that, and it's very beneficial. And but we're trying to reduce the turnover, and the only way to do that is really to help people understand what they're getting into, so they're prepared for it, and they're doing it out of love and called to do so.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing, guys. I'm gonna get your website up here in a minute so everybody could view it. But first of all, I want to thank you, Paul, so much. I thank our very special guest, guys, Paul Berry, with the Foster Coalition, for being with us today and for joining us. And I hope, Paul, this will not be our last time. Let me just say this to you. And I know you have your colleagues and some other people listening with you. Hey, Carolyn, by the way, I know you're listening, Carolyn. If there's ever a chance, opportunity, you guys need a platform, need to come on, guys, you, Carolyn, anybody, contact me. You have my information. You guys are always welcome here on TMG. If you say, hey, Travis, guys, we have something going on, and we would like to have you guys, have you talk about it or come on your show, you always have a spot here at TMG, Paul. You and anyone else that you have there, but just don't ever worry about this being the last time. Guys, I'm going to put up Paul's information for us real quick. I'm going to take my mug shot off here, as Paul would say, and I'm going to put up Paul's information. There it is, guys, right there. There it is. It's coming up on your screen. There is the Foster Coalition, .org, P.O. Box 382-2241 is right there on your screen. If there's anyone who wanted to get in contact with them, I'm going to actually show you their website real quick so you can see it. There it is. That's their actual website. It has all great information on there right now, as you can see. It has resources for churches, agencies, and organizations. Also has the contact information, a way to donate and help out. We say, Travis, you know, I don't feel led to be a foster parent or a mentor, but I do want to help in some ways. There you go. You can donate. Of course, is the about section as well. So you can also help us out in that area as well. So there we go, guys. That is absolutely amazing there, Paul. So, Paul, thank you for being a part of the show. Do you have anything you'd like to say, Paul, before we get up out of here today?
I need somebody to improve my looks. No, I just encourage everybody to get involved, because these children desperately need loving people like you.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. Listen, I told you, don't let his serious demeanor fool you. Paul is definitely a comedian by heart. I think he missed his trade somewhere along the lines earlier in his life. But he's doing what he wants to do right now, and I think he's doing a fantastic job of it. Guys, listen, circumstances in life challenges us all. It always challenges all, and it can be especially challenging when you're a child in different situations, traumatizing situations. We could be a solution and make a difference, as we've heard here today. And maybe we too can find a way and help fill the gaps. Guys, listen, it's about that time, and as always, it's been a real blast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show, and thank you for being here today. Guys, don't forget to join the show and tune in each Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, right here. And guys, don't forget, you can stream in on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, and so many more. Thank you once again, Paul Berry of the Foster Coalition, for being here today. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And as always, in party, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, guys. We got to go. See you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.